This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Welcome to the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. My name is Raymond Grenfell. Joining me in the studio is Zoe. How's it going, Zoe?
Hey, going fine. A little bit sore, but I'm fine.
Enjoying this this public holiday. Brahma's in the studio as well, keeping up the positive doggy vibes. Before we go any further, though, huge thanks and love to Jeff for another excellent edition of On The Record, the chilled out music edition, you know, celebrating this public holiday. So many thanks to him. He'll be back next week with a bunch of stories and you know, current affairs, events, all sorts of things. The man of the chops, Jeff, will be back. But of course, On The Record every weekday here at RTR from 9 in the AM. As I said, this is the Indie Media Show. Zoe, today we're going to be focusing a bit on what's unfolding in Iran. I guess, you know, many of our listeners would hopefully be aware of what's going on there, despite the fact that it's you know, been somewhat underreported in the mainstream press, at least here in Australia. But there's been huge demonstrations and protests throughout Iran, some of the biggest in absolute decades, really, since the Iranian Revolution.
And of course, in following on from that, there have been a lot of social media that people outside of Iran, they're cutting their hair and burning hijabs after the death in custody of Mahsa Amini. I spoke to Sahar Golizadeh about what is currently going on in Iran and globally, and if there's any current way forward from the unrest.
And we'll be hearing from Sahar a little later in the show. So a very timely and important conversation, so I hope you can stay with us to hear all about that. I believe there's some you know, solidarity actions and stuff coming up, so it's really, really important if you, you know, care about human rights and expressing your solidarity with those struggling elsewhere in the world, that you hear about that.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice.
Mass protests have erupted across Iran, met with violence from police and hostility from the government. The Iranian people are calling for global solidarity, but why? In 1936, the pro-Western ruler Reza Shah banned the wearing of veils and headscarves in an effort to modernize the country, with many religious women choosing to resist. In contrast, in 1979, saw the Iranian Revolution. The Islamic regime overthrew the Shah's dynasty, making the hijab compulsory. In 1983, the anti-Western government made this rule law, and since then, the morality police have arrested, abused, persecuted women who do not conform to these standards. While the demonstrations in Iran continue, this is only the tip of a much larger iceberg. Unrest within the country is tied to inequality, economic and social issues fueled by low wages, government corruption, police brutality, and the isolation of Iran internationally. Last Friday saw the tragic death in custody of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who was apprehended in Tehran and taken to a re-education centre by the morality police. Yesterday, I spoke to Sahar Golizadeh, an Iranian-Australian community planner, political and human rights activist and demonstration organiser, about what happened to Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa was arrested in Tehran, in Tehran street, by morality police, or Gashte Shah, which they changed their name every few years, to tell her that her scarf wasn't wearing properly. And that is based on what standards, and not all of them has the same standards. In Iran, we don't wear the standard uniforms like many other Islamic countries. People are wearing what they want, so as long as they need, like, it's like they cover their arms and they cover their hair, but not like the way that you see. Maybe they usually believe in Islam and they cover their full hair. It's not like that. There is nothing to do with that. And majority of women outside, just like they put the scarf on top of their head to show that, okay, the respect with the rules, that's it. They've been forced to do that. Otherwise, no one wants to wear hijab, actually. And they took her to the center, to the education center. And where they take usually them, and they usually beat them. They usually humiliate them with the words that it's very humiliating for a human, not just for women. It's and majority of the time, they tell you that go and change, take all your clothes out because we want to take a picture of you, and you have to, we have to make sure that you don't have any weapons. No one has weapons back on. I know a lot of people, actually, they were saying that we were seeing that men actually watching those cameras, like sitting in another room and asking you to remove your clothes. Actually men, they give themselves the permission to touch you and push you to the cars to take from the street to that education centers. And majority of these are all very young women, and that they're just like, they want to be free like everywhere else in the world. So they took Mahsa there. And after that, the videos that they published, it's very misleading because Mahsa was with her brother, and when they took her, it was day. And when they published the videos that she was on the floor, it was at night. So it means that it took a few hours to beat her, to take her there, and then to say you have to, after they take you there, they ask you that you have to sign a form. And sometimes they send you with that form to the court because you... If they said that you've been acting against the law and against the Sharia law. And that's then after that, you say that, okay, I obey, I signed this paper, blah, blah, all of that. And then they tell them, okay, so you can ask your family to bring you something that you like, it is our own standards. And then they release you. Majority of the time, put marks, labels that you're against the regime. And with these kind of things, and then they take women actually to jail or prisons for longer times, especially if you raise your voice, you tell them that I haven't done anything, there is nothing wrong with my cover, or I'm happy with what I'm wearing, and then they don't give any choice. Another thing that it's good to mention as well, and that there are plenty of others that they can share their stories, that how many times they've been beaten and they've been taken to these education centers.
So just to like add to that, so you're saying that after these women are arrested for not being covered enough, they're then asked to remove all of their clothing in these centers?
Yes, because they want to take a picture of them. This is what I've heard, the stories from some women, that they take them to some of the education centers and they say that, oh, we are all women, we want to make sure that you don't have anything with you, you take your clothes off and everything. And but that's what's been happening. It's very brutal what they do to people. It's nothing to do with religion, nothing. It's all brutality, what I can say.
So obviously this brutality unfortunately led with the fatality of Mahsa. Mm-hmm. So how are the people of Iran responding to her death?
After she was killed and they released these CCTV camera videos, it's all censored and putting the stories majority of the time when something like that happens, they go and they publish different stories. They force people to come and sit in front of camera on the national TVs to confess and that, oh, I've been brainwashed by the foreigners medias and all of that. So after people saw all of these, there are a lot of lies going on, and people are tired of this much light. People are tired of this much brutality, and everyone were so they started protesting outside the streets. They started going out and ask for their rights, and why it started to show their sympathy and empathy with Mahsa's family, because everyone has a story to share based on these things, based on Gashte Irshad, or based on they've been taken to education centers or seeing all these brutalities. So everyone is tired. Everyone is sick of hearing too many lies, and that it's because of the religion. It's because of that. It's nothing to do with religion, not at all, because you see that in other countries that there are in the same region, and they're Islamic countries. None of them they force their people to do what the Iranian regime does, and none of the other countries actually they take the advantage of religion like they've done it. And they forced people to hate the religion more and more because of these behaviors.
This is not only going on in Iran now, it is spilling out internationally, and women and men, like brothers of women and sons of mothers, are now having peaceful demonstrations in solidarity. Why are these so important, and why do you think this is spreading as it is?
Because Iranian people been under this pressure, too much lies and corruption of the government for a long time. It's been more than 40 years. They attacked the country, they confiscated the country, and now they forced the laws that it's, and they're putting these laws for just the normal people, for the public, for not for their themselves, not for their kids. People are sick of that. Nowadays, because of the internet, because of the technology, people are talking, people see that what's going on outside. And the rate of the immigrations to other countries is so high because of the all educated people are leaving the country, escaping the country because of these rules. The government's family, they're all living outside Iran. They're all, none of them actually, they're wearing the hijab that they're talking about. None of them, they're all drinking alcohol. They're taking part in parties, partying, and spending the people's money outside the country. But these laws is all for people inside Iran. That's what I'm saying. They're taking the advantage of that, saying that this is Sharia law. No one in anywhere else in apart from Iran, none of the governments force people to do this, what they do. That's nothing. That is nothing to do. It's just brutality. That's it. It's the power. They're abusing people by that.
The Iranian government have now said that they are going to continue restricting internet access until calm is restored on the streets. How do restrictions such as these impact basic access to communication and support for those in Iran?
It's very difficult. I myself haven't talked to any of my family members or my family members back in Iran. And I haven't had any contact with them in the past week. They have restricted. They've been doing these restrictions a lot. 2 years ago, when they cut off the internet totally, unfortunately, 1,500 people died. because of that, because they when they start, they have the permission to shoot directly to people. The amount of the videos that I've received, or a lot of other people, other activists around the world, they're receiving, it's so brutal. It's so difficult to watch. It's so difficult to hear, and not to have their voice, not to know what's going on with the families. Everyone's are worried about their families, and we're worried about the entire populations. All innocent people with bare hands, they don't have anything. All they want, they're fighting for basic needs. They're fighting for their liberties. That's why everyone outside Iran, all Iranians, they're begging for showing solidarities, because they battled against the establishment. They don't have anything to ask. These days, I'm very impressed, Zoe, by the bravement of the young women in Iran. Even if, like, they don't have internet, they try their hardest to send their videos out, to send their pictures out, to send their voices out in different platforms, using VPNs, using all different platforms to send their voices out. And still the government, they because they have the power, they did it. And it's been very difficult. People are very, very saddened about not having any news from their families, because everyone is worried that now, next time, in a week or so, when they have access, how many more people they already been killed. Every day we open our news, we see that there are more and more, and then they don't release the details. This is just a guess and estimations.
Yeah, the state government, the Iranian state government, released that only around 35 people had died, and that was including 4 children. With widespread arrests of students and activists at their homes by security forces in an apparent effort to curb the protests, the Iranian president also warned that unrest will not be tolerated, and there are even state-organized marches calling for the execution of these protesters who are simply just wanting their freedoms. And as you said, it's not a matter of modest versus religious Iranians either, with both standing against these harsh morality laws. Why are the people of Iran continuing to risk their lives in this protest?
Because, as I said, they're tired. They're tired of the corruptions. They're tired of, we just came out of COVID. The government didn't support people, didn't have the vaccine for a long time. They lost many lives just because of COVID, because they said that we don't provide you with one of the vaccines because it's coming from America. But all of them, including their family members, they had the American vaccine. So it is all the show off in front of the TV that we are against America, but no, all their families are living in America, Australia, or Canada. They're all Australian, American, Canadian citizens. So people are sick of hearing all of that. People know what's going on. When I'm talking about people, I'm talking about majority. They don't want this government. They don't want this regime. But that minorities, because they have the power, they have the money. They've been forced by those minorities, and the brutality has been around for a long time. People cannot tolerate it anymore. People are sick of hearing all of these lies. People just want there to have freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to what to wear, and freedom of everything. It's that's why people are going moving forward. And as you said, yes, I will say there is hope. There is hope if the world hear our voice. There is hope if the world support us. There is hope. People are sick of all the forced rules that they are saying that it is by Sharia law, but there is nothing to do with Sharia law. It is what their power made them to do.
What support do you hope to see from the Australian government and also, as you mentioned, America and Canada and the UK?
Iranian regime cut off, shut down the internet, as you mentioned, to disconnect the people from each other. Because when we are connected, so it means that we are powerful. But they don't want that. So they try to actually make the people separated from each other. There is no support. What Iranian people expect from other countries, including Australia, is to be their voice and make it costly for the regime, for blocking the internet, for putting all these, enforcing the laws that it's against humanity, against women's rights, children's rights. Also, governments like Australia can technologically help Iranian people to be able to send their news online. The awareness is the biggest threat to brutal regimes and their biggest fear, actually. These days, because like activists like me, our family is under too much pressure. They have done it to my family. They kept sending threatening messages to my family back in Iran and anyone else. Also, Iranian people need support in terms of their news being broadcast. There is a war in Ukraine, but free media there. Access, they can have access to the internet, even in the war zones. But in Iran, it's different. There is no access to the internet. There is no media is allowed to go. There is no one can broadcast the news from inside the Iran because of their rules, and they don't let anyone to go inside Iran. So it means that it is very isolated. That is what the government, Australian government, can help. Iranian people are standing against a brutal regime empty-handed. And to send the scenes of this bravery and regime brutality, they have a lot of difficulties sending one short video out of the country. So that's what Australian government and other governments, they can help. Another thing is that I really want to mention, as I said before, the Iranian government, their regime, they send their family members and they have a lot of people outside. A few days ago, someone within the Twitter group in a very hit part, they actually published a Twitter status, which they realized that that person was a part of a regime. So they actually dismissed him from the work because they realized. And these people actually do not think that they are going just like a normal people coming with the normal visas. They're all coming here to Australian universities with Iranian government funding scholarships. So what Australian government or other government they can do, they need to think about these people around, because these people here, they are the one that actually now they do report a lot of people to the Iranian government. They do a lot of things here outside Iran. So I think that Australian government.
Sorry, is that, are you saying they're reporting people like living in Australia back to Iran? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they, and then that's why they push and their family our families, they and because they have they're using other governments funding, they're using other governments' universities to spread their brutal rules here as well. In Australia and in other countries. I think that they should be filtered. They're not like normal people that they work so hard to have some money to come here as a student on a student visa. They are not like normal people because they come with Iranians' government fundings. Yeah. Unfortunately, and they are spreading very quickly, and they've done it. So that is what Iranians want from the governments like Australia, and we really, really appreciate the help. Oh, there are many medias started publishing the news, but we need more. We need the voice of people in Iran to be heard.
That was Sahar Ghalizadeh talking about what's currently going on in Iran. Thank you.
And this is the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are it's now time for a bit of Indie Media news. A prominent Russian human rights group says some anti-war protesters arrested last week are being ordered to enlist in the Russian military. More than 1,300 people have been arrested taking part in street protests after President Vladimir Putin announced a partial military mobilization to draft 300,000 new troops to fight in Ukraine. According to the group OVD Info, authorities threatened one protester with 10 years in jail if he refused to enlist. Meanwhile, thousands of Russian men are attempting to flee the country in order to avoid being drafted. Finland said last Thursday it is considering barring most Russians from entering the country after a surge of border crossings. And in Nigeria, heavy flooding has killed at least 300 people and displaced over 100,000 others since the rainy season began last April. This week, 13 Nigerian states were inundated after Cameroon released excess water from a dam on a tributary of the Niger River. Nigeria's northern food belt has been hit hard, with floodwaters washing over farms and destroying crops. Even before the floods, the UN predicted nearly 17 million Nigerians could be impacted by the global food crisis through the end of the year. And as we reported earlier in this show, Iranian authorities have cut off internet access to the capital Tehran and other regions as protests over the death of the 22-year-old Kurdish woman in police custody continue to spread. Iranian state TV reports as many as 26 people have died in the protests since Mahsa Amini's death last week. And the family of slain Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abdul Akleh has filed a complaint against Israel at the International Criminal Court. Abdul Akleh was shot in the head on May 11th while covering an Israeli raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. Her family says she was deliberately targeted and killed by Israeli forces. And in the UK, rail services around Britain will be brought to a near standstill for the first two weekends in October, after the RMT union announced a further national strike. About 40,000 RMT members employed by Network Rail and 15 train operating companies will strike for another 24 hours on Saturday, October 8th. The fresh strike date follows the announcement of action the preceding Saturday, timed to coincide with the start of Conservative Party conference, when train drivers in the ASLEF union will also go on strike in the long-running dispute over pay and working conditions. And in Italian news, far-right leader Giorgia Meloni has claimed victory in Italy's election, is on course to become the country's first female prime minister. Ms. Meloni is widely expected to form Italy's most right-wing government since World War II. Her neo-fascist party, Brothers of Italy, was founded by supporters of Mussolini and very much ran on an anti-immigrant rhetoric. And in the week leading up to the election, the party even suspended a candidate from Sicily after he was discovered to have praised Adolf Hitler in online posts. And finally, one person is dying of hunger every 4 seconds. That's the warning from a coalition of humanitarian groups who say global hunger is spiraling out of control. Oxfam, Save the Children, and other groups say 345 million people are now experiencing acute hunger, double the number from 2019. Meanwhile, a new report finds there are now over 215,000 individuals worldwide who are worth more than $50 million. That's an increase of 46,000 people over the past year. And this is according to the bank Credit Suisse. This is the Indie Media Show on RTRFM 92.1.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations...